from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Thursday to you. Yes, it's Thursday day starting to run together. I will say this, while it's rainy outside, a little dreary. And I appreciate folks who were calling, checking in yesterday evening, hitting me up. Folks got my number, asking if my wife had made it home. Faith, Quavis Smith has made it back to Memphis. That happened yesterday. The Smith family has been reunited again. Probably spent too much time on it, but we were one of the many that had a family member trapped in an airport because of all the software glitch that occurred last week. And so for all that have asked and for all that have said that they were praying and hoping, she got back to the old smoothie that happened yesterday, and we're very happy about that. So again, thanks for asking. There's the update there. Also, noticed over on ESPN, they've got off-season greats for the Memphis Grizzlies, and sort of speaking of being great and those kinds of things, saw too that John Hollinger over at The Athletic has written a piece about summer league standouts, which I'm sure you'd probably imagine. You'd hope that there were some Grizzlies among the bunch. There are, and we will talk about that as well. Other than that, you got the Olympics that have started. Team USA, at least in soccer, didn't do much for us yesterday, did they? Lost to host France. So I can't get up about men's soccer and the Olympics.
This is the first time we've qualified in 16 years.
Was it 08? Yeah, I read that this morning.
I saw that when I was looking it up last night, just, you know.
So we're not really supposed to care, right? Because it hasn't been a thing
because
since 08.
Because the Olympic rules are different.
And right now, you don't have all, because of Euro or whatever else, you don't have all the best men in the Olympics, right?
Yeah,
we have all the best women.
Yes.
Isn't that the case? Isn't that what I read?
I honestly don't know on that.
So I'm having a hard time even being disappointed about the USA loss yesterday to France, because we typically don't do anything in men's soccer when it comes to the Olympics anyway. Do we have all that right?
Yeah, you have to.
If we don't, I'm sure Lawrence Dockery will let us know.
You have to be under 23 to play for the Olympic team, so you can't be over that age, I believe, is the cutoff. So that's why it's a totally different team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is, but yeah, it's totally. I don't think there's any person that plays for our national team and the Olympic team for whatever reason. They're totally different. So I think that's why we don't really invest that much.
We'd have lost if we had the regular guys.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly right. Like our expectations for soccer are and should be incredibly low. So, yeah, got underway last night. I didn't watch a minute of it. I didn't watch any of the horse.
Well, you said, I don't think equestrian. I was wrong. I don't think it starts till Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I saw that again last night.
So it was literally just
soccer.
Yesterday.
There may have been something else, but again, it wasn't.
Right.
Didn't make the radar.
Right. And then I think today we have the
mainstream.
Women. The women play Zambia and then, you know, some other stuff before, obviously. Saturday morning at 4 a.m. is when hoops starts. That's the first hoops game.
Thank you.
I'll be up for that one. I'll be brewing a pot of black, and I'll be ready to go.
You don't drink coffee.
Folgers taste just like.
Nobody believe that.
What does Folgers taste like?
Again, it's not the only thing I drink.
Okay,
we do mostly Keurig cups, and we switch around.
I see what kind of time you're on today.
But it's not like I'm repping.
You're not willing to.
It's not like
endorse,
I'm repping Folgers here.
You're not willing to endorse any company or product that's not doing lies with you. I see where your head's at. I see exactly where your head's at, and I respect it. And I respected that. Yeah, this is the one, right? Just to brew.
Enjoy it. When I want to make a pot, yeah, I got some Folgers with the, you know, you got to have the filter and all that stuff. You wouldn't know, but what I stick with typically is just one cup of Keurig, okay? And I don't use the Folgers cup on that. Little donut shop. We switch it around from time to time.
That's right.
I do appreciate Folgers, but I am not a spokesperson.
I was conflating
respect
Folgers
that.
With Bluebell. The Bluebell ad. The Bluebell ad is like he's got that that old country
man.
Oh,
just in terms of hearing that song?
The jingle.
It's the jingle.
Bluebell tastes
just
like. Yeah,
now that you mention it, I don't think Bluebell's too far off from that.
Yeah. The good old days. How about a crunchy bite of Rocky Road? You know, that's what, you know, that's.
Well done. Taking us back.
I mean, that's like the Jeff Calkins of ice cream right there. I mean, when you hear Jeff talk about food, it's something else.
Was it them that had the Larry Finch flavor?
No, that was
Finch
Angel,
vanilla.
Right?
That was Angel?
I think it was Angel,
okay.
Yeah.
I want to give it proper, make sure we're attributing that properly. That was Angel Foods?
I believe so, yeah. Didn't they used to have the big
Finch vanilla, I remember,
was the
flavor.
Now, were you a patron of the Finch vanilla?
Everybody in Memphis had it at that point. I was a little kiddie.
Right.
But everybody in Memphis had some of that in a freezer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it was Angel.
Angel Food, Finch vanilla.
Good on you, John.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I remember. I'm almost positive Angel used to have that big, like.
Now, you never had any, did you? You were too young.
No, I was definitely too young.
That was such a sample.
But we used to have this is what we hear on the radio, bro. This is your favorite spot.
I would sing that thing. I really would. They played it so much.
Bluebell ice cream.
Who the hell sang
that?
At
your local grocery.
Who is that white man?
Yeah, then you got to find that. Then at the end of it, it's got that tag, you know.
You have the it's called the donuts. You have the little part where he's talking about the great ice cream of Bluebell and the taste of summer, the summer strawberry pie at your local grocer.
That's right.
And the jingle comes
out. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Bluebell.
Bluebell ice cream.
Thank you, Bluebell.
What country music singer is that?
It's one of them jingle singers. They're dudes that make money off this.
Okay.
And when you're a has-been, you know, your career didn't go the way you wanted to, you know, you don't take office commercials.
That's right.
Get in that studio and start singing them jingles.
Listen, he got overshadowed. Overshadowed by the voiceover artist, though. You know, there's no doubt about it. When he starts talking about that Rocky Road or, you know, the creamiest, you know, like, I mean, he's in his bag. He's in his bag, man, no question about it. So, anyway.
It's not very ice creamy outside. It looks like gloom and doom outside.
It does.
The flash flood warnings and watches.
It does.
Be careful.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Be careful out there today.
We're bringing the sunshine in the radio.
Yeah, 100%, man, 100%. So I'll tell you what, there's nothing my daughter loves more than ice cream. She wakes up, 8 a.m., ice cream. 12 noon, ice cream. 3 p.m., ice cream. Ice cream,
She's
ice cream.
She's got to figure it out if you can get it. That's a pretty good life.
So, you know, we definitely do keep giving it to her. And so, you know, she keeps asking. So that's the way it works, folks. All right, here's what we have coming up on the show today. Drew Hill going to join us at 11:45. We'll talk to Drewski about he's finally back from Summer League. Obviously, a little bit of news yesterday with the Trey Jemison waving and the addition of Jay Huff. You know, some people in this room a little salty about it.
I don't think salty is the word.
Need to sort of confront their feelings.
Just not as satisfied as some of the others in the room.
Well, again,
seem to be.
Again, I don't. I'm not one to take subliminals. You know what I mean? I'm just not the one that's going to.
Bro,
do
you
that.
Act like you watched all of his games.
I watched a few. You know, okay. I mean, again,
I'm trusting you here that it's done.
Trust me, bro.
And once you get Kennard back in, complete, according to John.
I think probably, realistic, yes.
And a one seed, you think, with Jay Huff?
I'd say three seed.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm writing that.
Let's not go nuts. I don't think the one seed's going to be up for grabs with OKC, but I think we could get to three. That's what I'm comfortable saying.
I'll tie anything top four, I'll take.
So we'll talk to Drew about the Grizz roster moves and more. And then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins will join us. We'll talk some Memphis football with him. Obviously, he was out there. I mean, Simmons Bank is like, it's been destroyed. It's been absolutely destroyed.
What did y'all think was going to happen? That it was going to get renovated and nothing comes down?
No, I mean, it's just kind of crazy to see it just like.
The concrete come down.
Right. It's
that's
still standing.
That's called progress.
Still standing, brother.
Need to do it to the Coliseum.
Yeah. No, you just want to take that all the way down, right?
Yeah, bash it down.
Yeah.
Destroy it.
Leave no parts.
Bash the concrete.
Yeah. They could just. They slide right over.
Yeah, bring the tractor over there.
Right.
I mean, you got the
literally on the scene.
The wrecking ball.
Yeah, you could just
Yeah, like swing and miss.
Go over
once.
A couple hundred yards and hit the Coliseum too.
Look, real
that
quick.
That costs
on this.
Money though.
It is weird, isn't it?
I get it.
Costs money to tear it down.
Yeah,
I've been told.
I have a lot of old clothes that I don't wear, and so Sam's always like, let's donate these to so and so, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to give them away. I'm never going to wear these clothes again, but I don't want to give them away, you know, because I'm like, I have that mentality. Like, I just don't want to give it away. So that's where I can sympathize a little bit with the memories of Mid-South College, even though it's still standing.
But you've been reading. I mean, you need Liberty Park development there to help pay the bonds on MSCC and that the Memphis Sports and Events Center, and that does not, you don't help yourself by having a dead Coliseum there in an area where you need growth, you need development. And so, they've got to figure out some sort of use for it. If is there a plan for that in the new development that's going to be there? They need hotels. They need money to come out of that area. And having the Coliseum there just sitting dead does not help that.
Yeah, no, we talked a little bit about it last week. Like, the pictures are just weird. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. You see some pictures that...
I mean, I love that place. I have a healthy, you know, love and nostalgia for it. But
yeah.
Come on, it's in the way of progress right now. We got to stop being slow.
Right. Remember, we were supposed to have a soccer stadium there.
Soccer stadium, a wrestling hall of fame, I think at one point was discussed.
Yes, the WWE hall of fame.
And, of course, because of all the wrestling nights you had in there. But it seems like all of that is sort of... Wasn't at one point set up for a brewery?
Yes.
Like that plan looked real for
a
minute.
It did.
That didn't happen, fell through. And guys, we got to get serious about moving forward. But they have, they know, and with that MSEC, it's been the biggest sort of reminder.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pay the bonds on this thing. We need money coming out. Can't have the city digging into its funds to take care of everything. So hopefully that the progress continues over now what is called Liberty Park. Hell, I remember the fair in Liberty Land over there. I heard Jeff talking about the stalls.
Oh, I loved the
horse stalls that were over there used to be. And
I used to do the milking contest when I moved here.
Dude,
the cow milking contest,
dude,
the media.
That fair used to be packed over there. And it was just
fun.
But we got to get something going on over there that's 2024 and beyond. And it needs to happen pretty soon.
Yeah. What do you think it smells like?
Because the MSEC is perfect. Like, it's the sign that progress, you're capable of it. Let's get the rest of this thing underway. So, like to see that development come to fruition.
What do you think it smells like in there?
The stalls?
No, the stalls aren't even there.
I don't even think they're there anymore. The Coliseum's probably pretty nasty, especially in those bathrooms.
Yeah.
Because I imagine people have been breaking in that thing. I mean, right?
I saw it
most recently the boards have been put back up, but I've seen those boards. You know, people have been in that thing and probably doing some...
I'm going to get you a bag of salted peanuts, man, from there, so you can have for your person. Just as a memory.
You think there are still some in there?
Huh? Yeah, I'm looking at them right now. I'm going to go get you some.
Who went in there and took pictures that you're talking about? I saw the popcorn thing. Who's got a box of... There's a stale box of popcorn still in there.
Yeah, I think a few photographers have been in there to do it, which I get. Like, it's like, you know, the abandoned thing, right? The abandoned, you know, people are fascinated by the abandonment.
Well, and real quick, I know soccer stadium was out in terms of the money that the state gave us. That's got to go to Tigers and to Grizzlies. But is there not something still that can be done in terms of right there for 901FC, or is all that just done now?
I think it's done.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think it's done, brother. It is crazy to look at some of these pictures and just, like, step back into that. I mean, I don't think I ever went to the Mid-South Coliseum. I might have gone there for the circus, maybe. Maybe I went for the circus. I don't remember anything about it. But it's just kind of crazy to look at just the – you're really stepping back in time, like, for real, and seeing, you know, it's just a snapshot, man.
Yeah, you step back in time every time you used to go into Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium as well.
Yeah.
Up until now, thankfully, renovations.
There's something I appreciate.
No.
I do.
That place is a dump.
I appreciate it.
And the best thing we can say about it is sight lines, and that tells you the story right there when it's the best thing you can say.
Well, you don't mess with my sight lines now. I mean,
don't act like concessions in there are updated or that it's anything like a...
It's nostalgia. You don't like that? You don't like the feeling of the 90s?
I have a respect for nostalgia, but I appreciate more...
Respect.
...progress.
Okay.
Which is coming now where you started.
They've
torn that part of that damn thing out.
So let me ask you this. Let me use that.
Save the American flag, though.
Yes, that's
Jeff says they're going to save it carefully.
All patriots assemble. Now let me ask you this.
Yes.
Speaking of progress, does ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, where your TV tends to be, you want to watch SportsCenter, you want to watch.
And I keep it on there like old
30 for 30. You want to watch Around the Horn, which is coming off the air in 2025. You want to watch all that. Oh yeah, you're not doing your part, man. You need to lift it up. You need to lift it up.
Around the Horn's off?
Almost certainly. That was a report from the New York Post yesterday. that they are heavily considering taking Around the Horn off the air. After a 23-24-year run?
It's been on that long.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Around the Horn has been on over 20 years.
Yeah.
I think that's more PTI. Or has it been around 30 years? Kornheiser and Wilbon seem like, and it wasn't, did they come on same time? Why just?
So it debuted in 2002.
Wow.
So it would be 23 years old.
Yeah. I had no idea it'd been on that long.
That's another one we outlasted, folks. Add that one to the list.
Man, Tony Reale.
Add that one to the list. But let me ask you this. The worldwide leader who you love and hold dear.
I love him.
Do they think the Memphis Grizzlies made progress in the offseason?
You tell me. They gave a C. You like to give C's, too. That's a called average.
Yeah.
Is that progress?
Well,
Came out today. I think this is Kevin Pelton over at ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Kevin Pelton.
Well, okay. So,
C is Memphis's offseason grade.
Okay, so if I were presenting this to Kevin, which I'm not.
Well, okay.
But if I was.
I was going to ask you, what's your grade first?
Well, that's what I'm going to get to here.
Because it's higher, isn't it?
Well, if you just look at the sheer amount of moves that the Grizzlies made, in terms of, like, additions, like, guys, as in guys that weren't here last year, I would say, yeah, relatively, like, boring. I mean, you draft Zach Edey, right? I mean, that's
Pelton writes for now, to go to your point, dovetail, the Grizzlies' only notable newcomer is Zach Edey.
Yeah. But, Ja Morant is a newcomer. I mean, I know you can't count that as the offseason. I know you can't count that as the offseason, so I understand why you give. But it's like, it's not really a C. You know, and honestly, I would have asked Kevin, how could the Grizzlies have gotten an A?
Another big one. Like, I don't know if that gets you to an A, but my point is that's something I've asked for, something we've all had, just a little bit more stability and depth, again, in the big option. The option to put something next to Jaren right now, there is one.
Who would you have liked?
Again, you're giving me names. Andre Drummond ended up getting $5 million from, what, the Sixers, $5 million a year? That was too much for you, but you've got the mid-level exception. You have all of your draft picks. And listen, it may be the best plan to go with what Harrington thinks they're thinking right now. We're going to stay below the tax, see how it works out with what we've got come trade deadline. If we need to shake some things up with all of our first rounders, with the mid-level, everything else, we can make a move then. And that may be the best way to approach this. But if you are not... At least I think honestly saying that I'm not sure about the depth at center. I mean, listen, you don't even have a Tillman on the roster. You know, a guy that you could at least trust and throw in there to play next to Jaren, you don't have that right now. And so
right.
If you're questioning the front court depth, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
If still their answer to it is, well, listen, we can address that if we need to during the season, that's a fair answer as well. But, John, I don't think you should hold it against me. That, yeah, I look at Jay Huff on the two-way, could be very useful, but I don't think I haven't checked the box with Jay Huff in terms of, okay, there's my backup to Zach Edey, just in the case that Edey goes down, can't hold up for 82, there's my backup, I feel good, box checked. I don't feel like you're there yet.
No, I agree. And you weren't there with Trey Jemison either, right?
No,
I
mean, you were not.
So I think that's the thing. It's like they still... But I think their plan is they're going to find a backup center on the roster.
That's... Find the backup center that's on the roster right now.
Mm-hmm. Like whether it's playing in Jaren next to somebody, I feel like that's just the way they're going to have to do it.
Right.
Now.
I just want to make this as clear as possible from my side. I understand that there is going to be a lot of this season and maybe a lot of the playoffs where it's going to be Jaren and Brandon Clark out there,
mm-hmm.
and that can work for you great. But what I am saying, from what I see, from my perch, watching the Western Conference playoffs last year, and knowing the history of this offense, and how much better it was with Steven Adams type next to Jaren, that you have to have this option, and I'd like a little bit more depth there, because as I've said to you and you've agreed, this is a lot of pressure on Zach Edey to hold up.
It's too much, really.
We watched one summer league game against Walker Kessler. We were all very impressed. 34 minutes maybe was the most impressive part about it. He rolled an ankle in that game, comes back. We liked that. It's one summer league game. The questions about Zach Edey and whether or not he can hold up at this NBA pace for a full season, I still think are there.
Mm-hmm.
Those questions still remain even after an impressive one game and one quarter or whatever it was in the summer league. That's still there.
Yep.
We still don't know if Zach Edey can hold up. And so having a little bit of insurance, not a bad idea, good idea to have, and maybe Jay Huff addresses that, maybe he doesn't. But that's an area where, if we're going back to Kevin Pelton's grade, you could say there are still question marks about, again, that big next to Jaren. Love what I see.
Yeah.
Want Zach Edey to hold up. It may happen. But insurance there, I think, is still a smart thing. And you may be seeking it.
Yeah.
Once you've gotten into the season.
You absolutely could. And I look at the list of free agents, and, like, it's not – like, nobody's super compelling out there that could help you right now, right? Like,
but I throw to your point, too, almost – like, Vince Williams is sort of an addition in a way that
mm-hmm.
what you're expecting. And, again, that's you get in dangerous territory if you're basing it off – because those weren't as meaning – they're clearly, they weren't meaningful games. But, you know, Vince Williams being – the kind of rotation player that we're expecting this year is sort of an addition. So
yeah.
if I'm going back to your side that making a case that this is a little too low, you're only counting Zach Edey as an addition, I think Vince Williams is certainly an addition. And Marcus Smart, in the spot that you have identified for him when you made the trade for a full season, in a way, is an addition.
Yep.
So I get where you're coming from, that it's more than just, you know, you've added Zach Edey.
Right.
You got all your parts back. You're going to be able to do what you've planned now, hopefully. And so for those reasons, yeah, I mean, you check the boxes you need to in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I still think it's fair to question particularly the front court depth.
Yeah, no.
Everywhere else, I'll be honest with you, I feel great.
I'm in total agreement with that. I absolutely have no issues.
Wing used to be an issue.
Yep.
We feel great about the wing right now, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah, with the options you've got with Marcus, Vince, maybe GG, we'll see. But that, you know, you were trying to figure it out with the Laravias and Zaires and David Roddy's of the world going into last year. You now have the wing position pretty filled out. And, oh, by the way, you got some depth at it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about really some, you know, that one position at center and whether you've got enough depth. Otherwise, man, I love where this team's at right now.
Yeah, listen, we'll talk to Drew about it, see, you know, where he comes down and what the plan is from an organizational standpoint with that position. And the summer and Scottie Pippen and lots more.
Yeah.
Talk to Drew about that when we get back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, has a new piece up today where he says, while you're at it, Memphis, go ahead and knock down the Coliseum. He joins us now. Drew, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, I'm back when you're back to the fake story thing. This is like it's becoming a tradition, you know?
Yeah, I like to put very uncomfortable headlines next to your name, if you don't mind, right?
No big deal, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, there's lots and lots of people listening to the show or anything like that, you know?
No, Drew would never lobby for something like that. You would never. Let me ask you
this,
though. Go ahead.
I'm unfamiliar with the Coliseum quite as, you know, I don't have those memories, right? Like, I got here in 2018, so I'm sure it means a lot to a lot of people because I've actually talked to some people that feel that way. But, you know, I'm a different type of Memphian. I'm a newer Memphian.
But it's got to be crazy as hell to you that there is just this building that has been uninhabited for, you know, 18 years that just stands, right? Like, that must be crazy as hell to you.
It is. It's a little crazy, but it's like almost something that you look at and it's like you remember that it's there because the building is still there. But I don't know, man. Like, it is. You're right. It's wild that it hasn't been either knocked down yet or they've done something to fix it up. And I know people have been lobbying, right, for them to fix it up for a long time at this point.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen, though. It's just going to stand there like a stalemate. All right, welcome home, by the way, from a long summer. How's it feel being back home?
It's good, man. That Vegas trip, to be honest, took a lot out of me.
Mm.
You know, it's always hard when you're not home for an extended period of time, and I made the terrible mistake of going to visit my parents the week before with my wife. So we went and spent some time with them, and that just made my trip like a month long. And by the end of it, like, I wasn't even feeling like healthy, and I was not able to do anything about that. And I was on the road working for an extended period of time. And so, you know, I don't need any pity party for me, especially not on the radio, but it was just a very long trip. And so I was very happy to come home and take some time off from writing about basketball, which is probably why you've seen I wasn't writing about the championship game or about any of the recent news, but I'm back today. And and glad to be back and still have more to write from Vegas that I never got to, but I had to take a little break for myself because that was a very extended time to be away from home.
Well, I know it's a well-deserved break and sounds like it was much needed. I'm glad you got it. Tell me, straighten me out, because John's telling me how great Jay Huff is. I need to know the real. How much of an upgrade in this two-way spot is Jay Huff over Trey Jemison?
I just think he's a player that works versus a player that's maybe a little too repetitive. I actually just got done writing about this, so I'm glad you asked, Jason.
Yes.
If you look at the way that the roster's been constructed and what the Grizzlies have been looking to do, go back to when they had Steven Adams. So obviously he's a big bruising, rebounding type of center. He gets hurt. The whole next season he's not playing, and they trade him away. And they don't have Zach Edey yet, and they need to fill in that role. And so they tried Bismack, they tried a bunch of different guys, they tried, yep, you know, Xavier Tillman, and then they, in the end, like once they traded Xavier, they ended up with Trey Jemison, and they ended up saying, okay, you're our big bruising center, get in there, go play, finish out the season for us. And he played pretty well, and he played pretty well in Summer League too. So, I don't want to take away from what Trey has done, because I think he's played pretty well, and I think his teammates were actually pretty impressed by the way he stacked up against Edey in Summer League, and that's a little bit of the sentiment that you got. But that type of player is not the type of player that the Grizzlies need right now.
Right.
They wanted Xavier Tillman to be a shooter. They asked Xavier Tillman to take threes for a while until they had to play him in a different role, but like they were hoping that Xavier Tillman would be a respected shooter. Not that he'd be an awesome shooter, but that he'd be a respected three-point shooter. That never really panned out. They traded him away. And so you have a guy in Edey who's not going to be a shooter, who's a big, bruising big man that's filled in that role for Adams now. And you have a guy in Brandon Clark who's now back in the lineup and healthy again for the first time in a long time. And so that's another non-shooter that's in your lineup. Do you feel comfortable with Trey Jemison playing minutes next to Zach Edey or Brandon Clark? Because that would probably have to be a scenario if he's going to get actual minutes from a two-way spot. No, not really, because that's going to mess up your spacing, right?
Yeah,
like that puts two non-shooters on the floor together. And as much as we all like Trey, and everybody kind of respects him. He's been a stand-up guy since the moment he got here in Memphis. And so it's hard to let him go like this, but like that, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work that way. And by adding a player that can shoot, it gives you more options to play in the paint. And more importantly, it gives you a guy that works with every single other big in the rotation. You can play a guy like Jay Huff next to Edey, and you can play a guy like Jay Huff, especially next to Jaren and Brandon. And you can't necessarily do that with Jemison. You can only play Trey Jemison with Santi Aldama or with Jaren, because otherwise you have two non-shooters out there together at the same time.
Huff Nation, Jason.
Drew did a better job of convincing me that this was smart than you did.
That was a good job. That was a good job, Drew.
Well done.
That was a compelling case. I mean, I just thought, I thought Trey had a bad summer. I thought Jay Huff had a good summer, and Jay Huff can step out and shoot some threes and is better defensively. So I thought it was pretty simple. But I thought you broke it down in terms of
The way I could understand.
Yeah, well,
right.
I didn't want to go that far. But, you know, Jason wanted to hear you sort of relay it and relate it in terms of the current Grizzlies. And I think Jason's just officially joined Huff Nation.
I don't know about that, but I'm buying it a little more now.
Is he really going to play that much, though? Like, I didn't really think he was going to play that much, Drew. It sounds like you almost think he's going to play.
No, but in a scenario in which he does need to play, and I think that that's probably, I mean, how else do you get a guy to leave? He's only, by the way, he's been on a two-way contract for 3 years already
in the
league. You're only allowed to have four of them. So, like, this is it for him. So the Grizzlies definitely had to make a pitch to get him. So I would imagine that the Grizzlies were pitching that he's going to actually get to play a little bit. I'm with you, Jason. Like, Trey played well. Trey represented the Grizzlies well. I think everybody liked being around him in the locker room. He was a great story. He has the connections to Penny. And, like, I liked Trey, too. And I actually think that Trey, you know, from a muscle standpoint, like, belongs on an NBA basketball court. It's just that you can't play Trey with Brandon, and you can't play Trey with Edie. And so how do you keep Trey when there's other players out there that fit a little
better? I certainly wasn't suggesting that. I didn't mean it to sound like I love Trey Jemison so much and why, in asking if this is an upgrade, that I'm a Trey Jemison stan. I'm not. We were ready to cut him, John, and I were up.
I did see some of it, though. Yeah. I saw some of that online. There are people
that it's
like
there.
Trey.
It's there. Yeah, I'm just not one of those. I thought you clearly needed something else. And like you've said, like Jay brings more to the table. The shooting part, the part I think that you got me on is how he fits in terms of with all the other combinations. And I'd still say, you know, and I realize if they're trying to go in under the luxury tax, which looks like, I mean, you can school me better on that. That looks like is the plan that this can be okay. But I'm just concerned about when I want to go big next to Jaren. I've got Zach Edey right now. Right, and I know I can go small with Brandon Clark, but when I want to go big, I've got Zach Edey, and if Jay Huff is it, then I just wonder if this is the best plan. But again, what Drew, you've got what mid level going into the season, you got all your first rounders, and so if you get into the season and you feel like you need to make a change, you can do it at the trade deadline, right?
Yep, that's definitely a possibility, and that's a totally fair question to ask, and I think we're going to get a lot of those questions if the team doesn't come out and win right away. Because you're at a stage where you are expected to win. You think you're going to win. You're in a contention window. You don't have Jaren on a deal forever. You've only got him for two more seasons, right?
Yep.
And so now's the time when a lot of people think that the team should be going for it. And if they aren't willing to spend up until that first apron, mm-hmm. and like whether they do it and whether they're willing to are two different questions, obviously. Yeah. And like you said, like they could go over that first apron at some point during the season via trade or something like that. And so like that's, we can't crush them before the season starts. Like
I'm
we just
you.
Can't do that because it's just too early to do it at that point. But like they will face real criticism if the team doesn't succeed this season and isn't competitive this season. And it felt like you had an opportunity to make the team better and you came in under the luxury tax mm-hmm. out of what fear of being a repeater tax, you know, team.
We're on the same page.
They will face real criticism if that happens from everyone. I think from the local media, from the fan base. And that's something that I think that, you know, they have to consider, not that the opinions of the media and the fans really matter to the people that are trying to win basketball games, but like they will face criticism if that is the case. And I think it is a fair question to ask if they've done enough.
Well, let me ask you a fair question as well. And I'm the one that's deciding that it's fair because this is my court, my rules. All right, Judge Joe Brown, bottom line. What were the Grizzlies supposed to do? I mean, didn't they again go back to the table trying to get Mikal Bridges, but they didn't want to give away five first rounders? I mean, that seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right.
Like, yet another fair question.
You could have, yes, but like you could have made a trade around the draft.
Absolutely.
Like, but for who though? I'm saying, like who were we going after?
You could have gone all in on Jared Allen. You could have gone all in on like any of these guys. And like as I said, it is too early to be critical. I'm not being critical yet.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It is too early to be critical.
Jason's already...
No, I'm saying what he's pushing back at you is right. They could have gone big. They could have gone all in.
But, I mean...
And so if it fails, that criticism will then be fair.
Okay.
That is what he is telling you, and he is right.
Well, here's what I'm saying.
And my point is, John, too, additionally, you're saying what could they do? They are not done. This is not finished. That's the other thing about this is like you have until the trade deadline to go over that first apron. So you can't say what could they do when like you don't know what the possibilities are that they could do in January. Like, you know, in January they might say, "Oh man, we're on the like it's time to go get Lauri Markkanen." You know, like like that could happen.
Well, I'm just reacting to the right now, right? Like, I'm just reacting to the, like, Kevin Pelton gave the Grizzlies a C. You know, I'm sense like, you know, my partner gets his wife back. He still feels very restless. Like, I'm just responding to sort of the environment around me at the moment. You know what I mean? And I just feel like the Grizzlies within, you bring Kennard back. You got Zaire up out of here. You know, pretty good. It's pretty good.
Remember, they were trying to trade up to get Klingon.
Well, that was the report.
Remember?
That was the what was one.
You don't
report.
Believe Woj on that one? No, Woj put that in there too. There were multiple reports, right, Drew? They
about,
were trying
you,
to move
How about
up.
You ask yeah. Drew this? Drew can answer this.
Drew knows darn well.
Listen, if there's too much smoke there for there not to be
damn
anything,
right.
They're going to say what they're going to say. That's their job. They obviously want Zach Edey. They like Zach Edey a lot. I can say that for a fact, that Zach Edey was a player that they for sure had a lot of interest in getting, but like there's a lot of smoke there. I mean, and the other thing too is like the Rockets stuff at three, there's no way that was nothing as well. Like, I'm not saying that they were trying to trade away Marcus Smart. Like, I don't think that that was the case, but like, clearly there was something there. Like, and was that for Klingon or is that for like Shepard, right? Like, that's another guy you would think that this team would really like and would have fit. And so like, yeah, they could have been really aggressive in moving up the draft board. Like, that was another thing that they could have done.
But
like,
we don't know that Klingon is going to be better than Edey though. We don't know that.
We don't.
So the history may smile upon them.
Like it did with John Zion.
Yeah, like, I mean, it could. I leave room for that. I mean, Klingon was dominant defensively.
He plays the NBA game.
You know, in Summer League. But, you know, Edey looked great in his time in the Summer League, too. So I think it's a possibility that they could both just be great centers.
Yeah. Well, there may, I guess, just to get back to the main point here.
Thank you.
There may be a time when criticism is warranted. Mm-hmm. It's not right now. There's a lot of time to go. There's a whole season in front of them. And you can ask what more could they have done. But I think you may be asking that again come February at the trade deadline. And that answer might be different. Like, it may be different than what more could they have done in this moment. Like, there at some point, everyone's going to expect this team to go all in and try to win. And a lot of people think that that moment should be right now. Okay. And if they don't do that, then I think it is fair to wonder if they tried to do enough to win in the end. That's just the bottom line.
I get it. We're talking to Drew Hill, covers Grizzlies for the Daily Memphis. Does a great
100%.
Job. Green Eye Shade Award winner 2024 for his excellent reporting on the Memphis Grizzlies. This is a big one. That's a big one, I'm told. Some of the others, not so big. This one, big.
You're dang right.
This one, big. I get it, right? The nature of NBA offseason and discourse is – you know, the Mavs go get Klay Thompson. The Oklahoma City Thunder sign Isaiah Hartenstein. The Knicks go out and get Mikal Bridges, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know, and I know this is going to sound like spin a little bit, but the Grizzlies went out and got Ja Morant in theory for a full season.
Are you working for Grind City Media?
No, I'm just saying
just checking.
That would be my contention. That's a big acquisition in my view.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that they're going to be a much better team this year, John. If that's your point, of course they're going to be much better. They got guys back, of course. Like I was saying before the draft that they're probably going to win 50 games this year. It doesn't really matter what they did in the draft. I still feel that way. This team's probably going to win 50 games. They could stay healthy at all. Like this is a team that's going to win a lot of games.
John's not as comfortable about Scottie Pippen Jr., but I think the rest of us are, aren't we, Drew?
Yeah, I like what he's
Stood.
Done defensively in particular. I mean, he's been really, really good. And, again, I don't know if he's going to be, like, backup point guard in the way that everybody kind of talks about him just being the backup point guard.
Sure.
And you've got time, especially if you have a spot open going into, you know, mm-hmm. The regular season to maybe upgrade that deal if you want to later on down the line. But there's no need to do that right now because you do have him for 55 games or whatever it may be. So you might as well just keep him on that current deal. So there's going to be no rush there. He's been really good defensively. I like the fact that he's like you can put him in the game as an on-ball defender as a change of pace thing to try to slow people, you know, other stars down or whoever it may be. I like that they're going to have that and be able to utilize him that way. Again, I don't know if he's going to be your full-time backup point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies because Bane plays a lot of backup point guard. Vince, we've seen do it. Luke handles the ball at times. Like, there's just other guys that, I mean, what Scottie did is super impressive, and so I may end up eating these words, but like I think some of the other players are still a little bit further along. And so I feel good about him. I like the fact that they have him on a two-way. I like what he brings defensively. He'll be able to be a change of pace guy. Don't know if he's just like clearly your backup point guard, as some like kind of may suggest. I'm not willing to go that far quite yet, but was super, super impressive in summer league. Also, let's be a little honest here. Took advantage of those summer league rules quite a bit. Like the fact that he got 10 fouls,
yeah,
a lot, and that there was no bonus until the 10th foul.
Yep.
He was 94 feet every single time the other team touched the ball. He's not going to do that in a typical NBA game, you wouldn't think, especially with teams going to the bonus or whatever. But you don't want to discredit him for anything he did in the summer league. He was awesome. He should have been the MVP. He was robbed. I don't even know who that dude is that won the MVP, to be honest. I can't even remember what his name
was.
Yeah. I thought it should have been Scotty.
Jalen something.
Jalen Wilson, former Kansas Jayhawk.
That's right. Yeah, that's who it was.
Speaking of which, when people talk about waving Derrick Rose in Memphis, do you look at them differently? Like, you know, especially knowing like the history, you know, with Derrick Rose, and these are people that are in Memphis saying things like this. Like, I certainly do. I you drop down about three notches in my personal book from a character standpoint when you say things like that.
I mean, I suppose that the team could do that. I don't think that they will do that. There's 1 year left on the deal. It's an expiring contract that you're taking into next season. You know, it's not very pricey, you know, and I think the value that he brings from a locker room standpoint has proven to be useful. And so why would you do that? Especially if you have a space open, then you got a space open, and you have space to sign somebody.
Right.
So like if you needed to get Scotty on the roster, that's not like impossible to do. So I don't know if that makes a ton of sense to do right now. But I mean, it's not complete blasphemy, John. Like he's a veteran.
He's not no, he's at the end of his career.
It's blasphemy. You can't put a price on Derrick Rose in Memphis. You know what I mean?
It is great. It is really great to have him in a Grizzlies uniform, isn't it?
He got a steal on Jokic.
It's cool to see him. Yeah, seriously.
A lot of people don't remember that.
A real quick true or false, so I want to go back to Scotty and his defense. He's better defensively on a two-way contract than Tyus Jones ever was, $15 million Tyus Jones was for the Grizzlies, and ever will be. Is he?
Defensively?
Yes, I'm talking about defense. Better, right? Ever.
Yes. Yeah, better.
Rice, yes, on a two-way contract. You're bringing that to the table, yes. And Tyus was being paid $15 million, and you weren't paying him in the playoffs. Like, this option is great. That's what it amounts to.
It is a very good option. And the fact that he was able to dish out so many assists in summer league is obviously encouraging. It's not the same thing as the NBA.
Right.
You know, you can't overinvest in posting massive numbers in summer league. Like Zaire posted really good numbers in summer league his second year.
That's fair. Yep.
So you can't overinvest in that. But if you look good and you look like you belong, and you just look like a real NBA player out there among a lot of G League guys, like that's obviously, that is the number one sign. You know, Tyus was just so good because he just didn't make mistakes.
Didn't have to worry about anything on the offense, right? Exactly.
I know.
I get that.
And Scotty's not going to be that, but he's, again, he's just different. He's a change of pace guy, and he's a different guard than they have anywhere else. I mean, I know they have Marcus Smart, but Marcus is like better guarding up, I think, to like bigger positions, and Scotty feels like he's kind of made to defend the smaller guys, and he's really good at defending some of the more quick, you know, electric type of players, and so he kind of gives them something that nobody else on the team has, and that's what I like about it.
No doubt. Hey, let me ask you this before we get you out of here. I mean, SEC media days are going on, and I've been doing these BetQL, BetMGM Tonight shows this week, and we have college football people that come on every night, SEC guys that come on every night, and to a man, and there's probably been three, four, five, all of them think Alabama's going to stink relative to, right, what they've been. And I find that to be a little ridiculous because it's not like they're starting over here. Where are you on DeBoer and the season ahead for the Crimson Tide? Tell me these guys are wrong.
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that they're flat wrong, but I'm going to say, what I'll say is I feel better about DeBoer today than I did the day that they hired him, because he's recruited extremely well this summer. And so I just worry about this particular team, because you say they didn't lose everything. Like, yeah, they didn't lose their quarterback and they didn't lose the captain of their defense, but they lost a lot elsewhere. Like, I think that you're going to be – this is like what Oklahoma had when Lincoln Riley left, and everybody said that they would stink, and then a lot of people said, no, they'll still be good, and then they were very mediocre. Like, I could see Alabama winning 9 games this year. Like, that's a possibility, especially with their schedule. Their schedule's really tough. I don't worry about the long-term status of Kalen DeBoer, though. Like, I think the fact that he's proven he can recruit – is massive for Alabama, and I think that the staff that he assembled was really good. I think that this year is going to be a bit of a transition year, and so maybe this year is a little bit tougher, but in the end, I think he's going to win, and I feel pretty good about that, at least better now than I did on day one. But yeah, I got my tickets, John. I'm going to be there.
There you go.
On September the 7th when Alabama plays USF, and they put Nick Saban's name on the field at Bryant-Denny Stadium, which is so stupid, by the way. He's the best coach in NCAA history. He's maybe the best coach in any sport ever in history. And the guy can't get his name on the stadium. It is currently called Bryant-Denny Stadium. It is, you know, Bryant obviously is Bear Bryant. Everybody knows that. Denny already has his name on a historical building. Denny Chimes, which is in the middle of the quad, the middle of campus. It's like when they show you shots of the University of Alabama that aren't football, they show you Denny Chimes, and his name is already on that. It's so dumb. It should be Saban Bryant Stadium. It's the easiest thing ever. You
right.
take Denny's name off of it, and you put Nick Saban's name on it, and if Denny rolls over in his grave, too bad, so sad, he's not the greatest college football coach of all time.
I agree.
It's a little ridiculous, and I'm a little upset about that, but when it becomes Nick Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium, which is absurd, I will be there for that and in attendance watching.
Remember, USF doesn't have to play Alabama. Alabama has to play USF. Just so we're clear, that's what the USF coach said.
Oh, got it.
It's a new era.
Did not catch that.
He would have never said that if Nick Saban was the coach. He would have never gotten that off.
Isn't there just something naturally he's just set up to fail? I mean, the guy's still got an office on campus. I was listening to a Jalen Milroe interview this morning on ESPN. I want to tell you one of the first questions they asked him. And I realized this was always going to be part of it, and Kalen knew this when he took the job. But he was being asked about what Nick Saban taught you. You know, there's still the Saban shadow just seems to loom over everything. And so if he in any way is not meeting their expectations, which we know are high, that just you are doomed to failure in that way. I mean, the man's going to have an office on his – how many of those players are going to go to Nick's office when they're having an issue, especially the ones he recruited, and go over your head? I just – that and like I said, I understand it's probably always going to be like that for the next guy because of how revered Saban is, but that's tough. That's a tough environment to work in when he's still there, bro.
Yeah, it's tough. And look, the roster is young. And there was a lot of turnover.
There was a lot of his guys.
You
yeah,
lost
your
right. very best player. Maybe the guy who I thought had the chance to be the best player ever under Nick Saban was Caleb Downs, and now he's at Ohio State.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
He was everything to that defense last year. It is a uphill fight this year for Kalen DeBoer. It is definitely an uphill fight. We'll see. If he wins 9 or 10 games, that would be pretty great, I think.
Probably so.
And he's recruited extremely well. He's probably going to bring in the number one recruiting class in the country. So as long as you're turning in those blue chip recruits, you're going to win at the college level. We figured that out. Like go look at the winning percentage versus blue chip ratio in terms of recruiting. Everybody who brings in blue chips has a good football team. And so as long as he can continue to do that, Alabama doesn't have a ton to worry about. But I do think that this year is going to be a little bit more of a difficult transition than maybe everybody assumes, just because they're going to look at the A and they're going to say that should be the best team in the country, but it may not be the case this year.
Drew, you're the best, man.
Great
thanks
stuff,
for the time,
brother.
As
Thank
always.
You.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yep.
See ya.
He's Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Joins us every single Thursday here on the show. Good stuff from him, as always. Yeah, I mean, look, I might be on an island. I actually think Alabama's going to be shocking just fine.
because they have the most important thing, which is stability at quarterback. Like, if he was starting over with a new dude, mm-hmm. I would say, like, all right, yeah, it might be an adjustment for real. But if you tell me that you have a quarterback who clearly showed I think Saban mismanaged Jalen Milroe for a lot of the year last year. I mean, he's dicking him around. He's pulling him in and out of the lineup.
Well, you needed to change the offense to sort of adjust.
And I think, quite frankly, it took too long to empower Jalen. And when he finally did, I mean, they were, what, a two-point conversion away from beating Michigan? You know, I mean, who knows? And that was obviously the most dominant team in college football last season. So I feel like, okay, you take that quarterback who was making strides, you now put him next to an offensive mind, an offensive genius in Kalen DeBoer. Wow. Like, that actually could be a scary sight for the SEC. Now, yeah, you got to replace some things. And then that is a question. His defense, that's a question. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like, it feels like nobody other than Georgia has a great defense in the SEC, right? Like, I mean, it's not like Alabama last year was some juggernaut on that side either. So it's just the way that college football is going for the most part. You're just going to have to outscore people. And I think if you got Milroe locked in with a great system, you know, yeah, like, they could do that a lot.
I like Jalen Milroe a lot. Has he proven he's a great quarterback? And we know he's a great athlete.
I mean,
they adjusted to what he was last year. But you're right. Maybe DeBoer can bring out the best in him.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Jalen Milroe. I like that athlete under center for Alabama, and I think that gives you an edge. I don't know yet whether he's a great quarterback to sort of, you know, and maybe that's not your question here. If we're talking about 9 or 10 wins, he doesn't have to be. But if you're talking about them still being elite, which I think is sort of where you're leaning.
Right.
Doesn't he have to take another step? We have to see that. He's probably got the right guy for the job in DeBoer. I mean, he's an offensive genius, like you said. The other part about it, I was reading about this. He was so great at keeping Penix protected, keeping Penix upright and allowing him to make the throws. That's something he's going to concentrate on, obviously, for Milroe, keeping him off the ground, allowing him to be a passer by how well he's protected.
Mm-hmm.
He'll bring that to the table as well. So if it's in there to get – you know, that next step out of Milroe as a quarterback, you probably do have the right guy to get it out. But there is that question, I think, you know, whether he is capable of taking the next step.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Was it 4th and 31 last year? That's what they were talking about. Yeah. I mean, it was a hell of a throw.
Yeah, 23-6.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy, he's an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah. You got to just...
But to be elite in the SEC, right?
No, it's different. You're right.
I got to take a next step up.
No doubt. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, Audio Trainer Family, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.